Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
The last emperor, a bloodbath in Bavaria, and cut up your banknotes. It's April 1922.
100 years from today.
Your world news update, the last Habsburg emperor is dead. Charles, or King Károly as he was known in Hungary, expired from respiratory failure in exile on the Portuguese island of Madeira, where HMS Cardiff had deposited him after last year's abortive attempt to reclaim his Budapest throne. Last month, he caught a cold while out and about in the town. The cold worsened into bronchitis. The bronchitis worsened into pneumonia. His empress, pregnant with their eighth child, and the nine-year-old Crown Prince Otto were at his deathbed, and he was conscious almost to the end, his last words being addressed to Empress Zita, "I love you so much." Otto now succeeds him as the rightful Austro-Hungarian emperor, although under Austrian law he is merely Herr Otto von Habsburg. Charles will rest in eternity on Madeira, although, as is traditional for Habsburg monarchs, his heart has been removed for separate burial in Hungary. The former emperor was 34. In the late emperor's former realm of Hungary, the post-Habsburg settlement is proving somewhat violent. A bomb loaded with sharp metal needles exploded at a democratic club dinner in Budapest for members of the country's Liberal Party. Eight diners are dead, including one man blown entirely apart. Many others were injured, including at least one diner so badly burned that he crashed through the window and fell to the street below, smashing all his limbs. All the victims are Jewish. The bomb was placed near the seat of the leader of the opposition in the Hungarian parliament, Károly Rasé, but he had not yet arrived when it went off. Six people have been found dead in a gruesome murder at the Gruber family farmstead at Hinterkaifeck, about 40 miles north of Munich. Four bodies were stacked up in the barn, with the youngest victim dead in his bassinet and the family maid dead in her bed. 4 days passed between the killings and the discovery of the bodies, and in that time multiple persons tramped around the scene and even ate in the kitchen, which has not helped the police. There were dark rumours from the neighbours about Munich newspapers, to which nobody local subscribed, that have been found on the property, and the previous maid is believed to have quit because she believed a stranger was living in the attic. Does Bolshevik Russia have a new coming man? Joseph Stalin is the first to bear the new title of General Secretary of the Communist Party, and is said by some to be regarded by Vladimir Lenin as his eventual successor many years in the future.
Morning, every evening, ain't we got fun? Not much money, oh, but money.
Not much money, oh, but honey, do we have fun cutting up the little we do have? The government of Greece has ordered its citizens literally to cut their banknotes in half. The right half of the drachmas, the side with the coat of arms on, can be taken to the bank to be exchanged for new notes at half value. The left side of the note has to be turned into the bank for a government bond with a 6.5% annual interest rate. This unusual action is intended to reduce the government deficit. Well, it's different. In the Emerald Isle, His Majesty's government has formally transferred all functions of the stillborn government of Southern Ireland to the new provisional government of the Irish Free State. Violence continues to threaten the fragile peace in retaliation for the fatal shooting of George Turner of the Royal Irish Constabulary by a sniper. Five Catholic men and a seven-year-old boy have been killed in Arnon Street in Belfast. Michael Collins has sent an angry telegram to his northern counterpart, Sir James Craig, demanding a full inquiry.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air. You can make them hug and squeeze you too, or if they don't, just say you won't come down until they do. Wait till you get them up in the clouds, boys, there won't be anyone to watch you there. You can loop the loop till she can hardly get her breath. It isn't hard to reason with a girl who's scared to death. So wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Up, 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 way up in the air.
Wait till you get them up in the air with an Air Chief Marshal. Do you know what that is? It's a very senior rank in the Royal Air Force, which only just a couple of years ago was simply going to use Royal Navy ranks, but with the word air in front of them, such as Air Admiral. Instead, they went another route, and the Chief of the Air Staff, Sir Hugh Trenchard, will now be the first man in the British Empire's emerging air forces to hold the newly created rank of Air Chief Marshal. For the first time ever, two airplanes have crashed into each other in the sky over Picardy in France. A Grand Express Aérien Farman F-60 called Goliath was ferrying three people in its new London to Paris passenger service, not yet a week old. It collided with a Daimler Airway de Havilland DH-18 carrying mail at an altitude of 500 feet. All seven people aboard the two planes were killed.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio.
You can now love her by radio in New Mexico. The first licensed station in that state is on the air, KOB in Las Cruces, run out of the engineering school at the New Mexico College of Agriculture and Mechanic Arts. Can you love her by radio when the fellow on air is quite so opinionated? In New York, Mr. H.V. Kaltenborn has become the first person to broadcast an editorial opinion over the air on station WVP. His newspaper, the Brooklyn Daily Eagle, is sponsoring what he calls spoken editorials, the first being his view of the walkout by 500,000 members of the United Mine Workers of America across 26 states. Mr. Kaltenborn analyzed the strike from the viewpoints of a miner, a mine owner, and an average citizen. We shall see if the novelty of opinions on the radio catches on.
Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby, pretty baby. And I'd like to be your sister, brother, dad, and mother too. Pretty baby, pretty baby. Won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love, and we'll cuddle all the time. Oh, I want to love and baby, and it might as well be you. Baby of mine.
Actually, not everybody loves a baby. Last year at the first American birth control conference, birth control advocate Margaret Sanger announced the launch of the American Birth Control League. The organization has now been formally incorporated in New York with offices on Fifth Avenue. Its charter holds that children should be one, conceived in love, 2, born of the mother's conscious desire, 3, and only begotten under conditions which render possible the heritage of health. Therefore, we hold that every woman must possess the power and freedom to prevent conception, except when these conditions can be satisfied. If you, quote, prevent conception, what does that free you up to do instead? Well, in Germany, the Reichstag has approved a bill that will permit women to serve on juries. So gentlemen of the jury will now be ladies and gentlemen of the jury. The rarest postage stamp in the world is a British Guiana 1 cent magenta. It has been sold at auction in Paris for a record high price of 300,000 French francs, plus another 52,500 francs in tax.
And then he'd roll, roll, roll. Way up the river he would roll, roll, roll. Oh, tippa, then he'd kiss her now and then. And she would tell him when. He'd fool around and fool around, and then they'd kiss again. And then he'd roll, roll, roll. A little further he would roll, oh, 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 oh. Then he'd drop both his oars, take a few more encores, and then he'd roll, roll, roll.
They row-row-rowed way up the River Thames, and they won. In the 74th boat race, the light blues Cambridge beat the dark blues Oxford by 4.5 lengths. Also in sports news, Morton Football Club have won the Scottish Cup, defeating Rangers 1-0 at Hampden Park. The original Celtics, a New York team, have won the championship of the Eastern Basketball League, the premier professional league in America. They defeated the Trenton Potters of New Jersey 27-22 at Camden to take the series 2-1. Oh, do it again. They're saying no, no, no. Do it again. Sprint car driver Sig Haugdal and officials of the International Motor Contest Association reported that Mr. Haugdal had broken the record for fastest speed on land and had reached 180 miles per hour while driving a 250 horsepower car at the Daytona Beach Road course in Florida. But the speed was not timed by the American Automobile Association and so was rejected because it was unverifiable. The claimed speed of 180 miles per hour was 45% faster than the official record of 124 miles per hour set by Lidston Hornstead in 1914. The Firestone Tire and Rubber Company has introduced the Balloon Tire, a thicker but more flexible tire that requires less air pressure for full inflation, can bear more weight and is more durable. Plus, the Firestone Balloon is thick enough to have lettering in raised letters on the tire itself, if you like that sort of thing.
Over nothing at all our affection so far. Must I go on living like this without the bliss of a sweet kiss?
All over nothing at all. Or maybe not. Lieutenant Colonel Paul Beck was a distinguished military officer from the U.S. Army Air Service and a strong advocate for an Air Force separate from other branches of the military, as is the aforementioned Royal Air Force. He is dead at the hands of his friend Gene Day, a retired judge of the Oklahoma Supreme Court. Judge Day claims to have returned home to see Colonel Beck making sexual advances to Mrs. Day. The judge retrieved his revolver, ordered the colonel to leave, and when Beck drew his fist, bashed him on the head with the gun. The weapon discharged, and Paul Beck fell dead. The coroner's jury has ruled that the judge was justified in shooting the colonel. The army says he died in the line of duty and will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Jane Bunford of Bartley Green in Birmingham, England, was the tallest woman of all time. On her 21st birthday, she was measured at 7'10" and grew another inch thereafter, despite severe spine curvature. Miss Bunford is dead of hyperpituitarism and gigantism at 26. She will be buried in a coffin that is 8'2" in length, and the longest ever made in the British Isles. Hermann Rorschach was a Swiss psychoanalyst who invented the so-called Rorschach test, by which he would hand you an ink blot and ask what you saw in it. Herr Rorschach is dead at 37 of peritonitis from a ruptured appendix. No idea what that ink blot would look like. A.V. Dicey, K.C., was the most respected authority on the British Constitution, to the point where his 1885 book on the subject is regarded by courts as virtually part of that constitution. He popularised the phrase, the rule of law, which in turn helped popularise the concept. Mr. Dicey is dead at the age of 87. Ramabai Sarasvati was the first woman to be awarded the title of Pandita as a Sanskrit scholar and a campaigner for women's rights in India. Her first book in English, The High Caste Hindu Woman, shed sometimes unwelcome light on practices such as child marriage, and she was honoured just 3 years ago by the King Emperor with the Kaiser I Hind Medal. Pandita Ramabai is dead at 63. General Erich von Falkenhayn was chief of the German general staff and promised the Kaiser he would win the World War within 2 years. It didn't quite work out like that, and 2 years in, he was removed after failures at Verdun and the Somme. General von Falkenhayn is dead at 60. Aaron Ross was a stagecoach driver and railroad guard, legendary for seeing off multiple would-be robberies. In 1867 in Montana, his stage was attacked by 25 Indians, whom he successfully repulsed, killing five. A decade later, during another attack in Montana, he shot and killed the outlaw Big Jack Davis. In 1883, guarding a train carrying $80,000 in gold bullion, he told a gang of would-be robbers in Nevada, threatening to burn him out during a five-hour standoff, that he would see them in a hotter place. And then he shot three of them. Aaron Ross is dead at 93. Your World News Update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues, but representatives of 34 countries are meeting in Genoa to try to do something about it, at least with respect to global economic problems. This conference is different because, for the first time, Bolshevik Russia is participating as a player in international affairs. There was some talk that Comrade Lenin himself might attend, but he has chosen not to for issues of personal security. Instead, his foreign minister, Georgi Chicherin, is in Genoa in hopes of gaining diplomatic recognition of his regime from the great powers. Not every Chinatown is as agreeable as that Chinatown. In Peking, war has broken out between the two political factions that control China's highly nominal government. The Feng Tian clique replaced the Chinese premier without first obtaining consent from the Zhili clique. And the Zhili are not happy about it. The Zhili are backed by the British and Americans, the Feng Tians by Japan. 100,000 Zhili troops are now battling 120,000 Feng Tian troops for control of Peking. French military authorities serving as part of the Inter-Allied Commission in Upper Silesia were informed that munitions had been buried in a graveyard near the Huyten smelting works in Gleiwitz. French soldiers were dispatched to investigate. 11 of them were killed by a bomb blast.
All that are out of Ireland, let their happy feelings flow, like the old river channels flowing free.
In the boldest strike yet against the new Irish Free State, 300 members of the Irish Republican Army, led by Rory O'Connor, have seized and occupied the Four Courts in Dublin. The Four Courts building is the centre of judicial authority in Ireland, although the original Four Courts, Chancery, Exchequer, Common Pleas, and the Court of King's Bench have diminished, merged, and been substituted. The building has retained its name and is known as such to every Dubliner. Shortly after midnight, a group of IRA scouts diverted the three policemen on duty. While the main body of men scaled the walls, the IRA now controls the courthouse, the adjacent Victoria Hotel, the town hall, the post office, and the police barracks, and they appear to be settling in for a long siege. Michael Collins' provisional government is mulling its options.
Angel child, oh, baby, I'm just wild about you. Angel child, sweet mama, say that you love me too. In your arms forever I stay. You drive away Jerusalem brave when you smile. Oh, Henrietta, I'm in heaven, it's true. But love to do. Ain't got a soul, I'm just putting in miles when I say that I'm wild about you.
Angel child, when you smile, I'm in heaven. If your child is an angel in heaven, have you seen him smile? Have you talked to him? Sir Arthur Conan Doyle has. The creator of the famous consulting detective Sherlock Holmes has arrived in New York to conduct an American lecture tour on spiritualism. Upon disembarking from the White Star liner the Baltic, he told the gentlemen of the press, "I know absolutely what I am going to get after death, happiness. It is not mere hearsay. I have talked with and seen 20 of my dead, including my son, when my wife and other witnesses were present." The state of Massachusetts will allow women henceforth to be eligible to hold all public offices, including that of governor. In the case of Balzac versus Puerto Rico, the Supreme Court has ruled that although citizens of Puerto Rico are United States citizens, pursuant to the Jones Act of 1917, they do not enjoy the constitutional right to trial by jury guaranteed in the Sixth Amendment. The nine-man court has decided unanimously that right does not extend to U.S. territories that have not been admitted into the Union as states. The United States Shipping Board has voted to rename the passenger steamship SS Leviathan, seized from Germany when America entered the war, the SS President Harding. Board Chairman Albert Lasker said the new name had been selected at the urging of two other shipping commissioners, both Democrats, who said that the Republican president had done more than any other man to build the United States Merchant Marine.
When the sun is sinking in Wyoming, when the twilight clouds start to fall, in my dreams I can hear a melody, in my heart where the
That's all very well, but in fact, when the sun is sinking in Wyoming, that's when the dark deals get done. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Interior Secretary, Albert Fall, has secretly leased to a subsidiary of Sinclair Consolidated Oil the government-owned oil reserves in Wyoming centered around a distinctive rock formation that resembles a teapot, Teapot Dome, as it is known. Now, the Senate has passed a resolution demanding to know whether Mr. Fall granted these leases without notice. The U.S. has been occupying Haiti since 1915. It may seem surprising that after 7 years of occupation, they exercise so little control of the country beyond the capital city, but rural areas continue to be plagued by the CACOs and other gangs of armed insurgents. Now, Haiti's State Council, which runs domestic affairs under U.S. supervision, has surprised Washington by selecting Louis Bourneau to become the next president. Mr. Bourneau has pledged to work with the resident American High Commissioner General Russell to improve the general situation in Uncle Sam's ramshackle protectorate.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio.
You can now love her by radio in North Carolina, which has its first licensed station out of Charlotte. The co-owner, Fred Laxton, installed a transmitter in an abandoned chicken coop behind his house and ran the microphone cord all the way to the living room. Et voila! Wireless station WBT. We have reported at some length on the various trials of the picture star Fatty Arbuckle for the death of Virginia Rapp at a debauched party in San Francisco. The third trial is over. The jury was out for just 6 minutes. They decided unanimously in the first minute that he was not guilty and spent the remaining 5 minutes composing the following statement, which the foreman read out in court. Acquittal is not enough for Roscoe Arbuckle. We feel that a great injustice has been done him. We feel also that it was only our plain duty to give him this exoneration under the evidence, for there was not the slightest proof adduced to connect him in any way with the commission of a crime. He was manly throughout the case and told a straightforward story on the witness stand, which we all believed. The happening at the hotel was an unfortunate affair for which Arbuckle, so the evidence shows, was in no way responsible. We wish him success and hope that the American people will take the judgment of 14 men and women who have sat listening for 31 days to evidence that Roscoe Arbuckle is entirely innocent and free from all blame. Will Hayes, the former U.S. Postmaster General who now serves as head of the Motion Picture Producers and Distributors of America, feels differently. He has banned Fatty Arbuckle from ever again acting in an American motion picture and has ordered all showings of Arbuckle Pictures to be cancelled. We all love that song, and now it's on Broadway. It's a big number in the sensational new show at the Winter Garden, Make It Snappy, starring Eddie Cantor. The New York Sun loves the show and says Al Jolson now has a rival. We'll see what Mr. Jolson has to say about that. Just like the renowned Mammy singer, the New York Philharmonic Orchestra has decided it would like to be on Phonograph Records and has ventured into the music recording studio for its debut on disc, an abridged version of Beethoven's Coriolan Overture for the Victor Talking Machine Company, with Willem Mengelberg conducting. Sir Ross McPherson Smith was an Australian aviator who, with his brother Sir Keith McPherson Smith, became the first man to fly from England to Australia. The siblings had planned later this month to take off from Croydon on the first aeroplane circumnavigation of the globe. However, on a test flight of their Vickers Viking amphibious plane at the Vickers Works at Brooklands, Sir Ross and his mechanic, Lieutenant Jim Bennett, got into trouble while banking to make a turn and nosedived to the ground from 1,500 feet. Lieutenant Bennett is dead at 28, Sir Ross McPherson Smith, KBE, MC and bar, DFC and two bars, AFC, is dead at 29. Gilbert and Sullivan, but John Doban was the man who brought the music and lyrics into life on stage. He was an actor and dancer who created most of the dance sequences in the Savoy operas and popularized what became known in the West End as skirt dancing. As Punch said of him, "See Mr. Johnny Doban, he's so quick and nimble he'd dance on a thimble. He's more like an elf than a man." Alas, Mr. Johnny Doban is dead at the age of 79. Hans Frühstorfer was a German insect trader and lepidopterist who wrote many important monographs, although when it came to taxonomy, he had a marked preference for various aspects of male genitalia. He himself will live forever in the name of a rare species of snake in Java, Tetralopis frühstorferi. Frühstorfer's snake. Herr Frühstorfer is dead from a failed cancer operation at 56. Patrick Manson was the grandson of the man who established the Glengarryock Whiskey Distillery. He chose a different avocation and became a physician. Sir Patrick's research established mosquitoes as the source of malaria, and he is today celebrated as the father of tropical medicine. He founded what is now the Medical School of Hong Kong University and the London School of Tropical Medicine, and became the first president of the Royal Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. His time in China left him with recurring gout. Sir Patrick Manson is dead at 77. Cap Anson was a first baseman and one of baseball's first stars and greatest ever players. He played a record 27 consecutive seasons, mostly for the Chicago White Stockings, now the Chicago Cubs, and was the first to make over 3,000 hits. As a manager, he won a record 1,282 games with his White Stocking Cubs team. Like many players of his generation, he went into vaudeville upon retirement and did rather well with material written for him by George M. Cohan and Ring Lardner. Just a few days after becoming manager of a new golf club, Cap Anson is dead, 3 days shy of his 70th birthday. Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. 34 countries are meeting in Genoa to try to do something about global economic problems. But while they were settling in, the German and Russian foreign ministers agreed to hold a separate secret meeting 15 miles to the east in the resort town of Rapallo. There they signed a treaty agreeing to renounce all territorial and financial claims against each other and to normalize diplomatic relations. France has now threatened to quit the Genoa conference because it views the Treaty of Rapallo as a provocation and is somewhat at odds with Great Britain, which is inclined to forgive some of Russia's debt, much of it owed to Paris from the Tsar's day. 10 of the nations at the Genoa conference are now trying to prevent a French walkout and have sent a note to Germany stating that they reserve the right to nullify any clauses in the Treaty of Rapallo that conflict with the Treaty of Versailles. Are there other ways of helping Russia? Well, the economist John Maynard Keynes has written an editorial urging Britain to loan Russia £150 million to be spent on British goods that would promote agricultural production and improve communications. That way, says Mr. Keynes, Russia's famine would be ameliorated and food prices worldwide would be lowered because it would shorten the time by which Russia becomes again an exporter of food. In the still new kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes, 400 carloads of ammunition and explosives were stored near the railway station at Bitola, which you may know better by its old Ottoman name of Manastir. The munitions exploded at around noon and completely destroyed an army barracks where 1,800 soldiers were having lunch, and also a church packed with townsfolk attending a children's service. At least 400 people are dead.
Nights are long since you went away. I think about you all through the day, my buddy.
The United States and Germany are buddies again, at least diplomatically speaking. Nights were long since you went away, but now you're back, and Washington has normal diplomatic relations with the Teutonic state for the first time since the war. The former Republican Congressman Allenson B. Horton has arrived in Berlin to commence duties as the new U.S. ambassador. Cemal Azmi was governor of the Trebizond Vilayet in the last years of the Ottoman Empire and is known to Armenians as the Butcher of Trebizond. He was partial to so-called sex orgies with Armenian girls aged 10 to 13. After sating himself, he would have the girls drowned at sea. In exile in Berlin, Mr. Azmi and his chief advisor, Bayadin Sakir, were strolling with their families in the Uhlenstrasse in Berlin when two Armenians approached. One shot and killed Azmi, but Sakir attempted to flee and was killed by the other Armenian with a single shot to the head. Is monarchy a thing of the past? Well, two rival pretenders to the throne of Portugal nevertheless think it worth entering into a resolution of their separate claims. In Paris, King Manuel II, who was deposed in 1910 when Portugal became a republic, has met with Duarte Nuno de Braganza, the grandson of King Miguel I, who was deposed in 1834. They have agreed to unify a monarchist movement divided between Manuel's constitutionalist branch and Duarte's Miguelist branch. Duarte will now support King Manuel if the monarchy is restored, but Manuel has agreed that upon his death, Duarte will be his successor as head of the royal house. We shall see if either man ever sits upon the throne in Portugal. The leader of the provisional government of the new Irish Free State, Mr. Michael Collins, was returning to Dublin from County Kildare and had arrived at Rutland Square in a convoy of four motorcars. 12 men emerged from a house, walked past Mr. Collins without recognising him, and opened fire on the other men in his party. The Irish leader then drew his own revolver and engaged the shooters, disarming one lad at gunpoint. I asked him if he knew who I was, and when he replied no, I told him. That seemed to make him more uncomfortable than ever. Mr. Collins is a lucky man. Others, not so much elsewhere in the Emerald Isle. Another half dozen have been killed in Belfast. And Frank Lawless, a Republican revolutionary who voted in favour of the new Irish Free State, is dead not at the hands of his fellow Irishmen, but because his pony and trap overturned. Mr. Lawless was 51, and Mr. Collins and his former comrade, Eamon de Valera, attended his funeral and stood side by side, a rare event these days.
Hear me begging you upon my knees, blow hard back, sweet evening breeze. Blow my baby.
Blow my lighthouse keeper back to me on Lake Superior all aboard the Canadian ship The Lambton have been killed in a gale on Whitefish Bay. The 16-man crew are dead, as are the men they had been transporting. Five lighthouse keepers bound for Île Parisienne, Michipicoten Island and Caribou Island. Tornadoes have swept through the American states of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, killing about 50 people. Hedrick, Indiana is a small community of only a few dozen. The tornado swept through it an eighth of a mile wide, destroying all 10 businesses and 6 houses, killing 4 people in the settlement, another 7 in the outskirts, and leaving 35 injured. Tens of thousands of Hoosiers have flocked to what remains of the ruined township to survey the devastation, and the governor has been obliged to deploy the National Guard for crowd control in a village used to dozens and now trying to accommodate thousands. We all love the pictures of William Desmond, the so-called king of the serials and the star of A Broadway Cowboy and A Sagebrush Hamlet. Alas, while filming the forthcoming Perils of the Yukon, Mr. Desmond was standing on a cliff when a ledge of melting ice and snow gave way and he was plunged 50 feet into the frigid river below. He is reported to be badly injured, and it is not known when, if ever, he will resume shooting on the picture. Charles Arling was born in Toronto, but became a big picture star in California. Just a year or two back, we all thrilled to The Jackknife Man and The Woman in Room 13, but there will be no more. He is dead from pneumonia at 41. In Inglewood, California, a Spanish-American family was believed to be engaged in the production of bootleg hooch, which is said to have blinded one of their customers. In consequence, they found themselves raided by up to 200 masked Ku Klux Klansmen, including a grand goblin of the clan. A Japanese neighbor attempted to call the police, but the constable on duty is said to have been participating in the Klan raid and was shot dead at the scene. In London, just 6 months ago, a group of eminent British writers, including Joseph Conrad, John Galsworthy, George Bernard Shaw, and H.G. Wells, got together to form a club called PEN, as in poets, essayists, novelists. Now they have a New York branch. Willa Cather, Eugene O'Neill, Robert Frost, Robert Benchley are among the members of a new American PEN. The first president of the club is the man widely considered to be the United States' greatest living writer, the author of The Magnificent Ambersons, Booth Tarkington.
Running wild, lost control. Running wild, mighty bold. Feeling gay, reckless.
They're running wild on the streets of St. Louis, Missouri. On December the 30th, Luke Kennedy, the chief hitman for the Hogan Gang, was shot in the leg by members of the rival crime gang, Egan's Rats. He taunted his would-be killers by telling the press, "The other crowd has had their try and missed. The next time they will have to shoot straight and quick. We know who they are now." Next time came sooner than he thought. He was still recuperating from his leg wound and convalescing at his grandfather's house. Mr. Kennedy drove his Dodge touring car to Hamburger Avenue for an assignation with Mrs. Edith Gersbach, 25. The men of the Egan gang did not take Kennedy's advice and shoot quick. They lingered and taunted him as he attempted to hide under the steering wheel of his machine. The Hogan-Egan gang war is heating up.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air.
You can get them up in the air, but can you keep them there? These infernal flying machines, the Portuguese aviator Sacadura Cabral and his navigator Gago Coutinho set off from San Vicente Island off the West African coast for Brazil on what was supposed to be the first aerial crossing of the South Atlantic. Their seaplane, the Lusitania, was not cooperative. As they approached Brazilian territory at St. Paul Rocks, the Lusitania lost one of its floats and had to be abandoned to sink into the ocean. The two men are safe but frustrated at having got so near and yet so far, and they want to get back in the sky again. In sports news, Clarence DeMar has won the Boston Marathon again and set a new course record of 2 hours, 18 minutes and 10 seconds. The first time he won, he was advised by doctors at the starting line not to run it because of his heart murmur. Mr. DeMar is now known as Clarence DeMarathon.
Oh, Brian is trying to learn to talk Hawaiian. Honolulu, he's dying and crying, and all the time he's trying just to say, I love you true. With his arayaka hula, bigara hiki doula, and his Irish kiki Brian is trying to learn to talk Hawaiian to his Honolulu.
O'Brien is trying to learn to talk Hawaiian, but Boston-born Peter Cushman Jones mastered it effortlessly. An American banker, he served as the Queen of Hawaii's last Minister of Finance, and then, following the abolition of the monarchy, he co-founded the Bank of Hawaii. Mr. Cushman Jones is dead at 84. Christopher Augustin Buckley is how he was christened, but he was better known as Blind Boss Buckley. He was a saloon keeper who became blind after joining the Democrat Party in San Francisco, of which he became the very powerful boss. It helps to be blind when you run a political machine, not just because there are a lot of things you're not meant to see and don't wish to see, but because in the case of Blind Boss Buckley, it gave him a powerful memory that enabled him to recall every word of any contract, city ordinance or other document that was read to him. Mr. Buckley was accused of corruption, bribery and multiple felonies, but the San Francisco Chronicle was inclined to be generous. Quote, "The passing of the great leader will be a tragedy to many who were aided by him in time of need." Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The French Prime Minister, Raymond Poincaré, has warned that if the Germans default in their reparations payments, France will, if necessary, act alone to enforce the Treaty of Versailles. Following the Russo-German Treaty of Rapallo and the Genoa Conference's threat to nullify any aspects that conflict with the Versailles Treaty, the Bolshevik regime has declared that, quote, in no case can it permit treaties concluded by Russia to depend for their legality on the action of powers not signatory. In August 1918, a Ukrainian Jewess called Fanny Kaplan fired 3 bullets into Vladimir Lenin. She was quickly dispatched by the Cheka, and Mr. Lenin retreated to the Kremlin. 2 bullets had passed through his neck and his coat, but the third lodged in his shoulder and stayed there because the Bolshevik leader refused to go to hospital, not trusting in their security. Now, 4 years later, the bullet has been removed, and Lenin's health is said to be satisfactory. He has less pain in his shoulder, but more in Yakutsk, about 300 miles south of the Arctic Circle. It is the coldest city on Earth, with a record low of minus 83.9 degrees Fahrenheit recorded in 1891. Nevertheless, people are willing to fight over it. The White Russians under Mikhail Korobeynikov took it from the communists just last month and proclaimed the Provisional Yakut Regional People's Government. The Moscow regime has now pushed back and, as part of its plans to retake the city, has inaugurated the Yakut Autonomous Soviet Socialist Republic. Chinatowns are so agreeable. In the Fengtian-Zhili War for control of Peking, Zhang Zuolin, commander of the Fengtian forces, has launched a direct attack on the Zhili army of Wu Peifu and succeeded in pushing them back from the city.
Pull that car out of Ireland, let their happy feelings flow like the old river channels flowing.
The British Labour Party called a 24-hour general strike in Ireland to express its opposition to the prospect of civil war on the island. It doesn't seem to have had its desired effect. In the market town of Dunmanway in County Cork, across 3 days, 13 Protestant men have been killed or have disappeared, starting with the magistrate Thomas Hornibrook, his son Samuel, and his nephew Herbert Woods. The Royal Irish Constabulary has been the unitary national police force in Ireland for a century, but with the island dividing into separate jurisdictions, the police will be dividing too. In Northern Ireland, it will be known from June the 1st as the Royal Ulster Constabulary. It is not yet known what name will be applied in the south. Elsewhere in His Majesty's dominions, an Australian saloon keeper called Colin Campbell Ross was convicted of the rape and murder of 12-year-old Nell Alma Tersht. Protesting his innocence to the end, Mr. Ross has been hanged at the Melbourne jail, but using an experimental four-stranded rope rather than the usual three-stranded hemp. Mr. Ross dropped through the gallows but did not die, and instead dangled there, strangling to death very slowly.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio. If you want to reach your heart's desire, you won't have to send her word by wire. You never buy her love her by radio. Even when you're all alone.
You will soon be able to love her by radio across the British Empire. The first link in the Imperial Wireless Chain, an empire-wide chain of radio transmission stations, is now operational, connecting Leafield in England to Cairo in Egypt. Whether Egypt is flattered to be part of a British Empire radio chain is another matter. The newly inaugurated Kingdom of Egypt now has a new national flag consisting of a green background with a white crescent and three stars. In the United States, to mark the centenary of President Grant's birth, the Ulysses S. Grant Memorial has been dedicated in Washington. The centerpiece is a statue of the great Civil War general on horseback. It is the largest equestrian statue in the United States.
Daddy! Every night, just to bring me a bride. Daddy, dear old daddy, way up above she can see, you are more than a dad, you're the best friend I had. Daddy,
you've been a mother to all five kids. Have you seen the new comedy picture with Thomas Mann, The Bachelor Daddy? Don't worry, it's not as it sounds. It's about a chap who adopts a quintet of kids, the children of his dead mining partner, and then finds that his snooty society fiancé wants nothing to do with them. In sports news, Huddersfield Town has defeated Preston North End 1-0 to win the Football Association Challenge Cup at Stamford Bridge. The Preston goalkeeper, James Mitchell, is the first man ever to wear spectacles in a cup final. In rugby, the Rochdale Hornets have beaten Hull 10-9 to take the Challenge Cup. The Hornets' ferocious forwards are known as the Terrible Six. In baseball, a perfect game is one in which no opposing player reaches first base in a game lasting at least 9 innings. The last time that happened was over 13 years ago. Now we have another. Charlie Robertson pitched that perfect game for his Chicago White Sox at Navin Field in Detroit for a 2-0 win over the Detroit Tigers.
And then he'd roll, roll, roll. Way up the river he would roll, roll, roll. A hunky dipper, then he'd kiss her now and then. And she would tell him when. He'd fool around, and then they'd kiss again. And then he'd roll, roll, roll. A little further he would roll, oh, 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 oh. Then he'd drop both his oars, take a few more encores, and then he'd roll, roll, roll.
Row, 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 way up the river is all they can do after flooding left 12,000 people homeless in the states of Mississippi and Louisiana. Water and fire. In Spain, flames swept through the crowded customs house for passengers arriving by ship at Malaga. 60 people are dead and over 100 injured. More fire from an underground explosion at the Aurelia mine in Romania. 82 coal miners are dead, 32 of them burned beyond recognition. A terrible tragedy for the former Colorado Senator Simon Guggenheim. His son, also called John Simon Guggenheim, is dead of mastoiditis, an infection of the air cells behind the ears. The boy was 17. The Guggenheim family has been ill-starred in recent years. Mr. Guggenheim's brother died on the Titanic. He and his wife Olga are now mulling an appropriate memorial for their young son. Pat Kelly was one of the first female mountain climbers. At Easter, she was climbing the Welsh mountain Tryfan. At the end of the day, she was found severely injured at the bottom of some easy-to-climb rocks, and she was taken to hospital. 9 days later, she is dead from fractures to the base of her skull. Pat Kelly was 49. Do you read the Nick Carter stories? He has been one of the most popular fictional detectives for almost 40 years. Several authors have written his adventures, but none more than Frederick Van Rensselaer Day, who penned 1,076 of them. he has left behind a mystery all his own. He mailed a suicide note to his publisher at Street & Smith, who upon receipt hurried round to Mr. Day's room at the Hotel Brostel in Manhattan and found him there dead by self-inflicted gunshot. He was 61. And that's the way of the world, April 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media, all rights reserved.